Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host for the next hour, Betsy McLaughlin, and so happy that you're here with us. I have the pleasure of welcoming today as our guest, Monica Gilliam. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, thank you, Betsy.
Thank you so much for being with us. And the subject of our show today is choosing to be a steward of the earth. And it's like, oh, just even saying that and reading those words just kind of make me, my whole body go, ah, right? So what if, and we're going to, I know we're going to have a great conversation today about it. And what is being a steward of the earth? And what if it actually requires you to be present with the creation of a future that brings you ease, it brings you joy, it brings you glory, it brings you so much. And what, including being happy. So we will be talking about that and what possibilities there are for being a steward of the earth. And, you know, when we're talking today, people do listen to these shows even years later. So just as a reference point, right now is March of 2020, and we do have the corona virus outbreak going on, where a lot of places are closing down, shutting down, you know, borders have been closed, et cetera. And so it's really interesting what that has created for the earth. So Monica is an awareness advocate, and she facilitates people all around the globe to create a future for themselves, and also creating a future for the planet that makes you happy. So Monica, tell us what being a steward of the earth, where did that, like, what, when you first heard that, what is that for you, and how has that even changed?
Right. Well, you know, I looked up the term steward. What is that? When I heard that, I was like, what is that? And some of the definitions that I found were like, someone who looks after others, who like supervises or arranges things or manages things. And and I liked this one definition that I found, which was a person who looks after passengers on a ship or a train or something like that. And I was just playing around with like, okay, so if I were to be a steward of the earth, it's about, for me, it really is about working with the earth and using all of the tools that I possibly can to be engaging what will nurture the world, both for this moment and off into the future. And it's interesting because when you when you look at that, it's easy. Some people definitely think they have the best ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, think about your parents who you know, come to parenting with, you know, whatever intentions they have. Maybe they want to raise you right, whatever that means to them, and
right.
they or they want to do the things that their parents did or something like that. So, like, when you have somebody who's in this role of, like, supervising or looking after someone, it's a lot of the time it comes with a lot of beliefs already in place. And what I see is that we as people have come in and done all sorts of stuff with, like, land management and, you know, mm-hmm. working with the earth that really has a kind of people-centered point of view. And I've been really curious about, you know, what would it be like if we were actually able to kind of take a step back and take ourselves out of the center of our own consideration and really ask what would create greater for this planet, for all of the beings and species on this planet, that can include us and not have to exclude anything. So for me, really being a steward of the earth is being willing to, like you mentioned before, be present and engaged and asking questions that can give you more information about what may really contribute to the vitality of everything.
Excuse me. So I love what you just said about, you know, asking questions. So what questions? And that is one thing that we do talk a lot about on this show, and using the tools and questions from Access Consciousness. What questions would you invite people to ask? And then, you know, a lot of times as we ask questions, it will give you more questions and ideas that you can ask. So what would you offer as some possibilities and suggestions that people can ask when they're looking to nurture the earth and be a steward for
the earth? Well, yeah, totally. I mean, it's funny because what so many of us have been taught is that when you ask a question, you are looking for an answer. And
right.
hopefully you're going to find the right answer and not the wrong answer, because if you do the wrong answer, you're bad. You're a bad student. You're a bad steward. But really, you know, part of asking the question is to kind of ignite that joyful discovery that is a part of being engaged. So, or being present, or being really involved in what's going on in the moment, so that you can get information from what's going on, not just from your head. So an example that I would give that could maybe lead you to some questions you can begin to play with is like going into the garden. I am a great lover of plants, and my plants teach me so much all the time. And a big way that I learn from my plants is I just go out and I ask them, hey, what would you like? And it may seem funny. Of course, they're not going to answer me in any mm-hmm. particular language. But if they ever do, I'll let you know.
I'll talk.
But part of what that question does is it, like, primes my curiosity for the exploration. So I say, I don't just assume that I know exactly what everything would like. So I go into the garden and I say, hey, garden, what would you like? Is there anything that I can do in the garden today that would contribute to my plants growing stronger? Mm-hmm. You know, what? kind of just that sense of playful curiosity. And it's amazing how much when I ask that question, then my own attention begins to move around the garden, and then I get to explore. And it really is that exploration without having a particular result in mind that allows me to learn so much. So just still with this example of the garden, you know, I have enjoyed being in the garden for so long, and I definitely was taught certain things that you're supposed to do and things that you're not supposed to do. And when I would go into the garden with this idea, I'm supposed to do this, then I would I would start to judge myself on if I was doing it right or doing it wrong, or I would just do it without even looking at, you know, is that necessary today? You know, like, you got to water your plants once a week, even if it's been super dry and maybe they need to be watered more. Or, you know, what if it's been very damp and they need to be watered less, you know? These kinds of rules that can run our lives, where we start to just function from what you're supposed to do rather than asking, what can I do? What would contribute here? And so when I, you know, just continuing with this garden example, when I go out into the garden and I say, hey, you know, what could I do today that would be a contribution here? It actually, that includes me too, you know?
Right.
And then I find that I begin to do things that maybe I hadn't been taught before. But then I discover, like, oh, I wonder what's going on with this plant over here. And I begin to explore. And my own curiosity teaches me things that become joyful in that it's this discovery rather than needing to find the correct way. And so kind of extrapolating from that, I mean, that is really what I would suggest. You know, to go out and say, okay, what is possible here that I could choose or that I could interact with that would be a contribution? And then you just get to play.
Yes, I love this. And thank you so much. It really does what I was looking at as you were talking about all this is the element of play and the element of being willing to follow the energy of a situation, as opposed to the automatic pilot that we can so easily go into in every area of our lives, right? And then when we're in the automatic pilot of, you know, like the example you used, okay, well, I'm supposed to water now, or I'm supposed to do this now, or I'm supposed to do that, where you're overriding what you actually might know or be aware of, and then just going to what you are supposed to do, you know, and that whole, well, this is what you're supposed to do thing, where that takes you out of what you know. And so when you're not in that place of really being and operating from what you know, and you start being in that automatic pilot, what do you see, what did that do at different times in your life when you would operate from automatic pilot versus being the steward of your life?
I mean, the thing is that automatic pilot, again, is like where you kind of check out. You just do, you like become a robot in a way. You do the things that you're supposed to do no matter what. And then the amazing thing with that is that not only do you kind of check out, but then that opens up the space to judge yourself. Did I do the automatic pilot right? Rather than that that joyful exploration where what you had mentioned before about the play, what I love so much about play is that it really is a space for us to explore and to be open to all sorts of different things. Like, think about, you know, if you make something very serious, how willing are you to totally look at it from a different point of view? Versus when
That's
you
very
allow
true.
Something
yeah.
to be playful, you know, if you're playing with something already, there's a lightness to it that can give you the freedom to make a totally different choice in the next second. And that's really what is required when you're engaging living systems. That living system is going to change. Everything is going to change. That plant, that animal, your own body, whatever, it's all going to change. And especially these days, you know, with the coronavirus and everything that's going on, if you want to, you know, drive across town, the rules and regulations for that are changing from second to second, you know.
True story, yes.
And if you make any of it super serious and rigid, then you just kind of lock yourself into, I can only take this action or that action. Whereas when you really step out of the automatic pilot, then you allow yourself to be present as the dynamic, creative creature that you actually are, that is changing yourself, you know?
Wow. This a conversation already, and with that, I do believe that we're just about ready to take our first break. Where, when we come back, I would love to explore some more about where we can go with being the steward of the earth. So stay tuned, you guys, for more conversation with Monica Killian. Thanks for listening.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. It's Betsy McLaughlin here today with Monica Killian. And we are talking about being stewards of the earth. And right before the break, we started talking about the element of play and not being so serious
And I wonder, you look at so many things, children playing, puppies playing, kittens playing. A friend of mine had her dog just had a bunch of puppies, and I was watching a video where she was she's sitting on the ground and the dogs are running around, and there's no form or structure. You know, they're just running, biting somebody's ear and then running to this dog and biting this, you know, and just having fun and none of it being serious. And I wonder the contribution that the joy and play and laughter is to the earth. And I definitely wanted to talk a bit about that, Monica. So tell us what you're aware of there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there have been, of course, all sorts of studies on, like, what it creates if you go up to a plant and yell at it. There were some things that were being done with all of the bullying awareness campaigns, where the difference between, like, yelling insults at a plant versus mm-hmm. being really kind and caring, just that, just the language and the energy without any, like, physical, like, breaking the plants up or, you know, fertilizing the plants, it actually had a huge impact on the plants. And then, you know, we can know that, like, when people are very stressed out, that has a huge impact on their bodies physiologically, that, you know, their blood pressure will go up. And there can be all of these very palpable, tangible repercussions of the suffering that people are doing energetically and emotionally. And there is also the incredible nurturing that is possible both for our bodies and the different animals and literally for the plant, the land as well. Your joy, your laughter is a physical contribution to the world around you. Just like think about, you know, if you've been in a room where a baby was crying, what that created in your world, and then mm-hmm. a baby who's laughing, you know, what that creates in your world. And so, you know, it's like we can begin to acknowledge that these things, that the way that we are being in the world can actually have a huge impact on the world, not just on ourselves, but even on the way our gardens grow or the way that the animals around us are moving or interacting with one another. And it's really interesting right now with so many people across the entire planet being told to stay inside, that uh-huh. what is going on in the world around us. I see that, like, there are actually more people who are going into parks and stuff like that and receiving from just the nurturing of the earth and getting a chance to get out and go on a walk. If you're not allowed to do all of these other things, you still in most places you can do that. And it's like we're receiving so much from the world. And what if we were to really acknowledge that the way that we're walking through the world can also be a contribution right back to the world that is nurturing us so much, you know? So, I mean, I just...
So true, yes.
Well, I, again, just the thing, I have not yet been through any moment that has been made easier by getting really serious about it. I'm still kind of, I would like to throw that out as a challenge to everybody in the world. Like, if you can bring joy to a situation, whatever it is, I have always found it to make it easier and to be a part of creating healing. I mean, mm-hmm. I've done a lot of work with people who've gone through serious abuse, and making it more and more serious has not really helped it as much as bringing some lightness to it. And so it's like right now there are, we're taking a moment to take some time away from each other and to kind of put things on pause. And there's this mm-hmm. different space that's available right now. And there are all of these systems that we're so used to functioning in a certain way, and they are not able to function that way for the moment. And I'm curious, as we begin to move in the world again in different ways, like what joy, what playfulness, what presence can we bring into the world as we go forward into the next days, into the next months or years? You know, like if you could actually bring some playfulness into just this moment, what could that assist you to create, both just in your life, just for your own enjoyment, and then also in your creativity? You know, if you're looking to create some change in the systems that are having such an impact in the world, how much could you contribute to that if you brought in some playfulness, if you let yourself out of the rigid structures that so many of us have made so serious? What else could be possible if we were to not just be like, you know, la, 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 nothing's important, everything's, you know, just like light and fluffy, but like really engaged, aware of everything that's involved, and with that flexibility that comes from not taking yourself too seriously? This is what I'm curious about.
so apt. You know, they, not taking yourself so seriously, even, you know, in the face of illness or the face of things where it's not to be glib about what's going on, right? And I had cancer, and one of the things that people always ask me is, when they know somebody going through it, what can I do for these people? And for me, and what are my like go-to answer beyond a shadow of a doubt is laugh. Like, if they want to talk about their illness, they will talk about it, you know, but you get so tired of talking about it, honestly. You're just like, oh, please, could we talk about something different? And what I just wanted to laugh, and I wanted, and I knew that anytime I laughed, it, you do, your endorphins kick in, you feel better. You're, you know, so if it's watching a funny movie or playing a fun game or having conversation with people and just laughing and laughing and laughing, that is such an amazing healing component. And so the more that we can heal ourselves, what is that contributing to the earth? And how is that being a steward for everything that we desire to nurture and create in this world?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I've done a lot of different things. I had an acupuncture practice for several years. And what I discovered was there were different techniques that I had been taught to, you know, get information from the body that I was working on. So I'd like put my hands on different places, just like, you know, if you're going to see if somebody's shoulders are tense and you put your hands mm-hmm. on their shoulders, you can notice, oh, these muscles are tense, you know. Mm-hmm. And there were all of these different techniques that I had been taught. But if my own body was tense, I couldn't really hear so well what was going on in their body. The noise from my own world was too loud for me to pay attention to anybody else. So if my neck was, you know, if my posture was weird and I was, you know, my arms were hurting from just the way that I was standing, then I might not be able to notice the nuances of what was going on with somebody else. And similarly, you know, if you can have ease in your world without having a bunch of problems that are shouting at you and distracting you all the time, then you can actually be more present in the world around you as well, you know? So it's like doing this thing of like nurturing your own life and living actually allows you to be a greater contribution to the world around you, you know? And it's like with many healers, I've noticed that, you know, many healers will try and like heal the entire universe, and then they don't really take care of themselves. And in a way it's like, well, that's not very functional. If you're going to die in 2 days from trying to heal everybody, well, then you can't really heal that many people, can you? You can't really contribute to that many people. But if you can take care of yourself and be happy and joyful, not only can you have a longer time of being present with other people, but your joy and your happiness can be a source of lightness for other people as well.
That is so, so true. Oh, my goodness. I love this conversation. I truly do. And I would, as you were just talking, what was coming in was gratitude and wanting to bring in that piece too. You talked a little bit, you know, about the studies that have been done that show, you know, what anger will do for plants and things like that. And then what joy, and so the component of gratitude, what do you get that contributes to this whole conversation we're having today?
That's interesting. I mean, gratitude is, there are some elements of receiving that come with gratitude, which is like a really foreign concept to a lot of people. Receiving, it's like, what do you mean? Somebody's going to give me something? Does that mean I owe them something? What is that? You know? But just like that, if you are actually really grateful for something, there's this element where you are acknowledging the gift that that is and receiving that gift. And then that receiving in turn of that gift can be a gift. So an example that I like to give is like a hug. If you go to give somebody a hug who does not want a hug, it's kind of horrible. It's kind of horrible for both people, right? But if somebody is desiring a hug and you have the desire to give them a hug, then all of a sudden you're both getting a hug. It's not just one way, it goes both ways. And it adds to your world, both of you. And there's something similar with gratitude. When you are grateful for something, there's both the acknowledgement and the honoring of that thing. They're really like, wow, how cool is this? Oh, wow, that gets to be in my world. Wow. And then your joy about it or your gratitude for it actually can feed it. It is that acknowledgement. And that energetically goes beyond just, you know, from person to person, you know, like if you're grateful for your body, it actually is a contribution to your body, you know. Gratitude really, it's another one of my challenges. Just like I said before, you know, I have not yet seen anything that was made easier by getting much more significant and serious about it. Although I'm open, if somebody can show me that, I think that that would be kind of funny and cool. But the same thing, another thing that I've not yet seen is judgment coinciding or coexisting with gratitude. And so, you know, if you can have gratitude for something, it a lot of the time can get you out of the judgments that you might have about that thing. And when you go into judgment, really, it just It just limits you. It just limits what you can receive. You know, it's these are all concepts that, you know, honestly, a few years ago, I might not have had any sense of what all of this means in a cognitive way. But what I do know is that, like, when I go outside and it is beautiful outside, I receive that beauty with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that yes. is a tangible thing that I know that physically feeds me and makes my life more enjoyable.
Well, and the when you are receiving from nature, you know, you walk outside, and you don't even have to be outside. You know, you can look outside and just connect with nature, and you can feel your whole being just relax and go, ah, you know, which is why so many of us love to take a walk in the woods or go to the beach or just do something being around some space around nature, enjoying the animals or the, you know, the birds or the butterflies, all of that. It all is this harmonious contribution to our bodies. And to what you were just talking about, going outside and that relaxation and that gratitude for nature, for the earth, for having a body, for all of it being that communion together. What if even that is being a steward of the earth?
Totally, totally. I would love to talk even more about this specifically.
Oh. Awesome. And we'll do that after our second break here. Thanks so much, Monica. We'll be back in just a minute.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I wonder how many different ways we can create being stewards of the earth that maybe we've never thought about before. So that is our conversation today, being a steward of the earth, and what does that mean, and how can we be that, and how much are we that already that maybe we've never acknowledged? And I'm here today with Monica Gilliam. And Monica, thank you so much for being with me today, first of all. And how could people find you if they would like to have more conversations with you?
Well, you can. I have a website that is my name, so it's MonicaMataGilliam.com.
And how do you spell that?
M-O-N-I-C-A. M as in Mary, A, T as in Tom, A, G-I-L-L-I-A-M as in Mary.com.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Betsy. This has been amazingly fun. And I do have to say, on that last break that we just had, I loved the ad that was right before this started up again. It was about, like, some things can only be discovered by the forest. It's like, yeah. And it's so cool because it's like this world that we have the enormous fortune to be living with and on is so generous and so brilliant, you know, all of the way that the different species can coexist, and not only coexist, but can actually nurture one another. It's like, it is such an amazing role model, really, for us. And right before the break, you know, we were talking about receiving from the earth and just what it's like for the body, you know, when you, like, go out into nature and go on walks. And I was just wondering, what would it take for us to be that nurturing for the earth too? You know, like, and so you, like, really looking at that you are a source of all sorts of things. You're a source of energies, you're a source of ideas, you're a source of movement, you're a source of, you know, planting in the earth, you're a source of all sorts of things. And what are you actively choosing to be a source for? You know, what if you could, like, really be present with what you're choosing? And if there's anything that you're choosing that is just, like, not fun for you, just to know that you can choose something else. And, you know, we were talking about play and joy and fun before, and it's funny because, like, I know that I was taught to work hard and that hard work was good and right, and that, like, being carefree was somehow kind of frivolous and not really, you know, committed to creating the world that I need to create. But actually, the funny thing is that your happiness is like this amazing radar that you have. If something is showing up that is, like, really difficult and just, like, making you feel like bleh, that is just a moment of your own awareness saying, like, hey, something's a little off here.
Right.
And then rather than freaking out about it and being like, oh, my God, the sky is falling, you could just stop and be like, oh, okay, so what's off right now? I notice that something's off because I'm not very happy. And, like, what is there anything I can change? Is there anything that I can choose? And then you start to, you know, play around, like we were talking at the very beginning, with playing around with questions to go and explore and, like, dig in the garden of your own life and, like, make changes here and there. And it's just so cool because with this thing about, like, being a source, acknowledging that you are a source in the world, it's like if you walk into a room, are you a source of misery or are you a source of possibilities and joy and laughter? And, like, that is something that you get to be in charge of. And that is a huge part of being a steward of the earth, is, like, really tending to what it is that you bring into the world and not having to, like, you know, pretend that you're not cranky when you're cranky, or that, you know, everything's all flowers and roses, and hide what's really going on for you, but to really, like, dig in and be present and notice everything that is coming up for you, and to allow yourself to shift whatever you can shift so that you can actually walk through the world as this source of possibilities, as this, like a force for ease and peace in the world, which may sound crazy, but is actually possible.
So how do you do that?
That's great. I mean, I would say, first off, just ask, you know, like, what contribution would you like to be to the world? It's like, if you were to write, I mean, this might sound a little morbid, but like, if you were to write your obituary, how would you like to be remembered in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What contribution would you like to give to the world? And you just ask that question, like, what energy would I like to bring into the room with me? And then you start to ask for that. Okay, how can I be more of that? And you don't have to like map it out ahead of time. You don't have to think that hard about it. You can just be like, okay, what would I like to contribute? So for me specifically, just to get a little bit more kind of practical rather than theoretical, like, I know that I personally love laughing. I a few months ago, I woke up, and before I fully was awake, I heard in my head myself asking, oh, how many jokes can I make today? And then I got excited about being awake, because I was like, oh, I can make so many jokes. And years ago, I realized, like, oh, I get my sense of humor better than anybody else, so I don't even have to explain my jokes to me. So there's no waiting.
No, I love that you said that. My husband, you know, like, a lot of times will, and he's cracking up at his own jokes, and I'm like, sorry, I don't get that one, you know, or it just goes, and he's laughing his head off, which then makes me laugh more, because I'm like, I'm glad at least somebody's appreciating all of the jokes that come out of your mouth. And, you know, that's exactly what you were just saying.
I know. You don't have to explain what you find funny to anybody else.
Right?
I mean, and sometimes you can't, you know, but like, what I've discovered about myself is just like, I am constantly studying humor. I am amazed at this miraculous thing that is laughter. That we get to laugh in the world just blows my mind left and right, you know? And that everybody gets to laugh at different things, and that is something that I am so inspired by and enjoy so much, that one thing that I would like to bring to the world is more laughter. And so I start by bringing that to my own world. And I tell myself jokes that maybe nobody else thinks are funny, but I laugh, and I discover that as I laugh, that other people begin to laugh too. Or when I have a sense of laughter, that a lot of the time people can't be super unhappy and serious around me. And
right.
That is something that is like really practical that I actually have chosen to engage with more. And just for another example, my stepmother is, she, all throughout my life, she has really loved to have a sense of space and peace and ease. And so she often will kind of take a moment with the animals or go outside. And and I discovered years ago that, like, that is something that is so much a part of her that when she's in the room, it becomes available to me too, you know? So that is something that she is a source of, and she doesn't even have to like think about it, but it's something that's really dear to her, that energy of just like really having kind of spaciousness, like being outside, you know? And there may be other people who just wanna like, you know, whatever it is. Like, that's the thing. Each of us gets to ask and be like, what would be something that I would like to contribute to the world? And not, and know that, like, whatever it is that you discover, it doesn't have to be your ending point. It's right. Not like, I picked laughter, so that's all I get, you know? It's what is like, yes, I would like to add more of that to the world. And then go out and play and like contribute that to the world. That again is a part of like, at least how I'm looking at it in this second. And you know, I like, let's talk in a year and we'll see if I have a different conversation to have around this. But that is part of being a steward of the earth, is like truly enjoying being alive. And knowing that whatever it is that really lights you up, that you can go after that. And you going after that actually contributes that to others. And so then you get to be that contribution. And this is where, like, you become a ninja Jedi, where you have to, like, up your capacities. So you get to be whatever is the most like delightful to you and be present with the world. So even as you're like, yay, this is what I would like to do, you can also be asking, who's looking for this? Where can I be a contribution? What is asking for this energy that I have so much of, you know? What, hey world, hey people of the world, hey plants, hey animals, what would you like? Just as I'm exploring what I would like to create and be, what would the world around me like? And can I contribute to that too? And again, it's not about like figuring it out. It's just about asking the question, and it already begins to open up the exploration.
So true. So just in asking the questions, you know, and as you stated earlier, there is no one right answer. You ask questions, you get awarenesses, and you keep asking, and you play. Bringing that element of play into how much fun could you have with the questions and with connecting with nature and connecting with the plants and the animals. And I wonder what questions you could ask that maybe you've never thought to ask before.
Right. I know. I mean, I can tell you one thing that I bet a bunch of people have never, ever thought to ask. Not everybody, but like if you actually go and ask a plant, what would you like? Yeah. A lot of people think that that's crazy, but it's interesting. I mean, if you were to ask anything, even like your house or your car, mm-hmm. what would you like? What would be a contribution to you? Don't wait for it to speak to you in your language.
Right.
But you might be surprised just asking that question. What would be a contribution to you? Might really surprise you.
Well, and you start to get at when you start asking these questions, you're really starting to tune into maybe things, tune into a radio frequency that maybe you've never tuned into before. And so when you do, you start to get thoughts or ideas or different things will pop in. And like Monica said, it's not going to be a linear, you ask a question and you're going to get an answer. But you may, so in asking the question of your house, what could I contribute to you today? You might hear something that's so totally off the wall, but if you follow it, it's really, really interesting where it will take you and where what you actually are far more in tune and connected to everything than you've ever acknowledged. And as you start exploring this even further and asking these questions, what shows up is really magical.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's an adventure. We're on an adventure, and why not include everything on the adventure?
Yes, I love that. Love that so much. And Monica, I've so enjoyed our conversation today. I wonder how much more stewards of the earth we have invited to be today. So thank you so much, Monica. Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. So grateful for you. Have a wonderful week. Bye, Monica.
Bye.